Again, tonight I would ask you to pray for me as I try to share the thought with you that the Lord has given me. If you want to read with me tonight, turn to page 35 of the History of the Baptist in Virginia. And if you don't have a copy of this with you, just sit quietly and listen, and I'll read. But I want to start by reading just a little bit out of this book to go along, and then we will read some from the scriptures. For now, I'm just going to read a very short passage of something concerning something that was said about in the 1700s in Virginia, when there were some of our Baptist forefathers, Baptist preachers, that had been imprisoned. And it says, the persecutors found that the imprisonment of the preachers tended rather to the furtherance of the gospel. They preached regularly in prison. Crowds attended. The preaching seemed to have double weight when coming from the jail. And now, if you would like to read with me from the scriptures, turn to the fifth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And I actually have a fairly lengthy reading there that I'd like to share with you tonight, beginning with verse 17. Acts chapter 5, beginning with verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors, but when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee, named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing and drew away much people after him, he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. Lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. That's reading from verse 17 and finishing the fifth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Now, this afternoon, the Lord put this thought on my heart. And I want to go back for just a moment and remind you of the things that Brother Jackson told us about, the very serious things that he spoke to us about this morning that are happening in our country. And I certainly agree with the things that he said, and we need to do everything that we can to stand up for what's right, and we need to do everything we can to maintain. And if you haven't read much about the price that our ancestors paid, our spiritual ancestors paid, and the struggle they went through to for us to have the liberties that we have today, you need to read about that. And we certainly need to do everything that we can to maintain what they purchased for us, what they obtained for us through the help of the Lord. But I do want tonight to speak to you about something that I believe in, about the Lord's work and about the gospel, and that is that I don't believe that men or government or whoever that it is, no matter how oppressive they become, or no matter how great the tyranny is, I don't believe the gospel is ever going to be stamped out. And there have been times, and I'm going to say this, that when we are challenged, when the liberties that we do have are challenged, the only way that the devil can win is if we allow him to win. And the only way that that things can cease to continue here for us. Now, I believe that it's true, and we find in the scriptures that we are told that when the Lord comes, that he will find faith on the earth, and he will. And he made the promise that when he commissioned the church and told the church what she was to do here in the world, how that the church was to go and to preach the gospel, and when people were saved, they were to administer the ordinance of baptism upon them, and then they were to teach them the precepts and the commandments of God, all the things that he had commanded. And with that came the great promise from him that he would be with the church always, even unto the very end, that he would be with the church. And the Lord is going to keep his promise. And so somewhere on earth, when the Lord returns, which we don't know when that's going to be, but somewhere on the earth when the Lord returns, his church will be here and she'll be laboring. Amen. Now where that'll be, I don't know. And whether or not that it will still be here in this part of the world depends a lot upon us, upon what we do. We've been hearing for quite a long time that, and to me, there's some great encouragement in the things that that I read and have read tonight from the scriptures and from Baptist history as well. But and we can see the similarity of what happened. We don't have to think of. And the reason I wanted to read this tonight was to show the contrast, because the devil trying to stop the work of God, we don't have to view that as just being something ancient, because I read to you from the scriptures something that happened a long time ago, something that happened somewhere in the area of 2,000 years ago when these apostles were in prison. But also I read an account of what happened here in the early years of our country. And you know, really, you and I today still live in a very young country. Amen. compared to other countries in the world, we live in a very young country today. And even in the time since we became a country, there have been the people of God have been persecuted. We read about the apostles here being put in prison. We read an account of these men in Virginia having been put in prison for preaching the gospel. And we read in the scriptures and in Semple's History of the Baptists in Virginia that it didn't stop either of them. And we also find that God was with both of these groups of men that we have read about. And so we've been hearing for a long time, for several years now, we've been hearing about prayer. And we've been hearing about how that you can't pray here and you can't pray there, and they've taken prayer out of here and they've taken prayer out of here. And that's true. I mean, that's true. There have been things that have been done in that way. And that is certainly, I'll tell you what, that's not going to result in the good of the country. That's not going to result in the good for anybody. But there have been things that have been done. But I think we can find the great example of that in the scriptures, in what I spoke about briefly this morning about Daniel. When they're in Babylon, when they passed a decree that said there was no man for 30 days, I believe it was, that there was no man that was to ask petition of his God. And Daniel, when he knew the writing was signed, he went into his upper chamber. He opened the windows where he could see towards Jerusalem, the holy city. And there, three times a day, he knelt and he prayed. Well, the penalty for breaking that law had been determined, and whoever broke it was going to be punished. And so Daniel, when he was caught, he was cast into a den of lions. But let me ask you a question: did they really think? Did the men of Babylon there that were in charge of that, of making that arrest and of putting Daniel into the den of lions, did they really think that he wouldn't be able to pray in there? He did, didn't he? And we find that God answered his prayer there in the den of lions, just like he could have answered anywhere else. And I'll tell you what, I read in the scriptures about a man named Jonah that was swallowed by a whale because he was disobedient to God. And Jonah talked about how that whale took him down to the very bottom of the ocean there, and how the weeds were wrapped around him, and he was in a horrible place. And inside of the belly of the whale, Jonah prayed, and God heard his prayer. Folks, I'm telling you, there is no place where you cannot get in touch with God. No place. And so, they didn't stop Daniel from praying. He still prayed. When they took him and they carried out the sentence and they put him into the den of lions, he still prayed. God is everywhere and God can hear us wherever we're at. And you know what? I can pray, and I have prayed to God before many times. And I know you have too. I have prayed to God before in my heart when nobody else would have even perhaps been able to tell that I was talking to the Lord. But I was. I was praying to God in my heart. There's nobody that's going to stop us from praying unless we just allow it. You know, they may make the rule. When I went to school, public school, pretty good size school, when I was in junior high school, every morning before we started the day, in the first hour when everybody first got into their classes, at the very beginning of the school day, the vice principal at our school would come on the intercom and say a prayer. Well, they may stop that. They may stop things like that, but they are not going to stop people from praying if they really want to pray. God, you know, if you need a place, if you need to get down on your knees and pray, God can provide that. He did for Daniel. Daniel just went there into his upper room and got down on his knees and he prayed. Well, they couldn't stop these men from preaching. They couldn't stop them. Listen to this from this. This is an account. This tells more about the account of these men in Virginia being put in prison. They weren't nice places. When we've made the trip over there, they actually, up there in Fredericksburg, they actually have a replica built of what the little jails look like that they would put these men in. And they were not nice by any means. This says, the prison swarmed with fleas. They borrowed a candle of the jailer, and having sung the praises of that Redeemer, whose cross they bore, and from whose hands they expected a crown in the end, having returned thanks that it was a prison and not hell that they were in, praying for themselves, their friends, their enemies, and persecutors, they laid down to sleep. The next day, being Sunday, many of their friends came to see them and were admitted into the prison. James Greenwood preached to them. Now, if I understand right from these jails in that era of time, they were on the windows and the doors, they had grates. And these men would stand there and they could just preach through the grates to the people. And history records, in fact, it even speaks about it in this book, that it would just enrage the persecutors. I mean, it would just make them bitterly angry against them, because here they had arrested these men for preaching and they would still be preaching in the jail, and people were gathered around listening to it, and people were being convicted of their sins. And as the account read here, they said it just seemed like the preaching coming from the jail just carried more weight, just carried double weight. And so God was in it. God was, honoring the truth there with the presence of His Spirit, just like He would if you stood behind a pulpit and did it. And God was honoring that as they preached, and it enraged those jailers and those persecutors to the point that at times they beat on a drum. They took a drum and beat on it to try to stop the people from hearing what the preachers was saying, but it didn't work. Their voices carried and they still heard the gospel, and people were saved. I don't know. There's something in me, there's a question about myself that I don't know, to be honest with you, and I guess that I'm not going to know unless I'm put to the test. But I hope, I hope that I love God as much as these men did. Somebody asked me one time, I can't really remember who it was, but I was talking to someone one time, and they said, do you think that we could endure the same thing that they did? And I said, yes, I do, by the same grace, because they didn't do it by their own power. They didn't go through the things that they went through and make it through it by their own strength. They leaned up on God, and He blessed them. And I wanted to read this to you. I've always found this so interesting. These men, I'll tell you, I believe God helped them oftentimes when they were put on the spot. I believe the Lord helped them. There was a time when some of the people from the priest, I suppose they were, from the established order there. See, these men were in Virginia at that time. They were told that they could not preach unless they had a license from the Church of England to do so. The Episcopalians had the rule. And so one time they accused the Baptist preachers of being the wolves in sheep's clothing that the Bible spoke about. And this is how they replied. To these arguments, Waller and the other preachers boldly and readily replied that if they were the wolves in sheep's clothing and their opponents were the true sheep, it was quite unaccountable that they were persecuted and cast into prison. It was well known that wolves would destroy sheep, but never until then that sheep would prey upon wolves. And I thought, you know what? We need that type of wisdom. We need that type of immediate wit. What a great answer. If we are the wolves in sheep's clothing, then how is it that we're the ones that's being persecuted for what we're saying? That doesn't make sense. And listen, those that stood for the truth, they were persecuted. And, you know, in one way or another, I'm convinced that though if you really take a stand for the truth today, you still will be. Paul said it, didn't he? All they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Shall suffer persecution. And so if we're not being persecuted in any way, then something wrong, isn't there? Bible says we will be if we live godly in Christ Jesus, that we will suffer persecution. So these apostles, they weren't deterred. They were not deterred by what happened to them. They were in prison. God came up. God came on the scene, rather, and set them free. And they went out. And when God moved up on the scene and set them free, they didn't run away. They didn't say, well, that was a close call, we better get out of here. They went right back out there and kept doing what they were doing and kept teaching the people and preaching to the people about Jesus Christ. And they were called back in. And they said, didn't we teach you to do this? Now, I'll tell you what, that man Gamaliel there, he was a wise man. There was something that he knew and something that he said that I say amen to. He was exactly right. If it's of men, it's going to come to naught. If it's of God, you cannot overthrow it. If God be with us, if God be for us, who can be against us? The Lord's church underwent bitter, harsh persecution for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. You know what they did? They killed, I don't know how many. They killed the saints left and right. But you know what they never could seem to do? They couldn't seem to stop it. They just couldn't stop it. I read one time, and to be honest with you, I don't remember now where it was at, but I read one time the statement that was made that during the Dark Ages, that one or some of the persecutors noted, they said, you know, it seems that every time that we put one of these people to death, there's 10 more of them that spring up somewhere. And I'll tell you what, friends, God is going to bless and be with and increase His church no matter what is taking place. The Lord is going to preserve His church on the earth until He comes. And it really doesn't matter how many of the workmen are buried as long as the work goes on, does it? As long as the gospel continued to be preached, I mean, that was what was really important. And I'll tell you what, the people that died for the cause of Christ, that's what they believed. They believed the gospel was more important than them. They believed that the continuance of God's work was more important than their lives. And so they were willing to give up their lives rather than denounce their faith, and rather than turn their back on the Lord. And you know what? Sometimes God would just, He would use one of them. He did. He did that on more than one occasion. He did that with Saul of Tarsus, didn't He? I mean, here, Saul, he was one of the bitter persecutors. He was one of the zealous persecutors of the church, and God saved him. And I want you to just think about that. Think about the effect that Stephen had on him when he was out there and he was telling the people the truth, and they become so angry at him that they ran to him and they begin to gnash on him with their teeth. And Stephen, being, the Bible says, being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked steadfastly into heaven and he said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And that enraged them to the point that they took him out and they stoned him. And there was a young man there by the name of Saul that was consenting unto the death of Stephen. They laid their clothes down at his feet. And not long after that, he was on his way to Damascus. And the Lord brought him down by His power and saved him and turned him into a mighty preacher. You see, God can even use them. He did the same thing with John Waller in Virginia. And you read the account, you read about the life of John Waller, and when Lewis Craig and these brethren were arrested for preaching the gospel right there in that churchyard, right there on the land that we visited this past week, when those men were arrested, John Waller was one of their harsh advocates, but he was so impressed by Brother Craig's composure in the courtroom when they allowed him to speak for himself. It cut Waller's heart, and not long after that he got saved, and God turned him around. And I'll tell you what, the church, the Lord's church, has increased and prospered through all different types of horrible, horrible situations. And I would to God that we would never think that the same thing couldn't be done today. God's the same, isn't He? He's the same as He's always been. I think when Paul wrote to Timothy, you really think about what he said to him, it becomes obvious that he loved the Lord and he loved his cause more than he loved Timothy. And Paul did, he had a great love for Timothy. I mean, he spoke about in his epistles, he spoke about his love for Timothy. But he wrote to him and he said, I mean, after all that Paul had to go through, after all that he had to face for preaching the gospel, he wrote to Timothy and he said, Timothy, my dearly beloved son Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Now, you know, today, because we're not going through the things they did, we don't understand oftentimes the full impact of that statement. We look at it, and I'm sure you've heard that used oftentimes about a preacher getting put on the spot 10 minutes with 10 minutes notice or something, saying, you're going to preach tonight. But when Paul wrote to Timothy and said what he did, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, there was a lot more to it than that. You be ready to preach under all situations, under all circumstances, at any time, whether it's convenient or not convenient, you be ready to preach. In season, out of season. If you've got to suffer for it, be ready. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they'll turn away their ears from the truth, and they'll be turned unto fables. But you watch in all things. You endure afflictions. You do the work of an evangelist, and you make full proof of your ministry. Brother J.M. Carroll wrote a book, a little book. Some of you have probably read it. Some of you probably still have it, called The Trail of Blood. I thought that was a pretty good title for the church, because that's sure what she left, Trail of Blood. But you go out and you hunt and you fatally wound an animal, and a lot of times you've got to track that animal until it dies. And you'll track it by the blood trail. It'll bleed along the way, and you follow that blood, and when you get to the point where the animal lost enough blood, you'll find it. It died there. But the church left a trail of blood that just went on and on and on and on, and never died. Never died. Still here today. I believe that. I believe that the church that the Lord established in his ministry is still on earth today. Still preaching the truth. Still preaching the gospel. And she's going to be here no matter what. Going to be here doing the Lord's work until he comes. Man's not big enough to outdo God. Gamaliel was right. If it is of God, you cannot overthrow it. It just can't be done. Those are my thoughts tonight. And I hope it's been an encouragement and a help to somebody in some way. I would like for us to do something. I'd like for us to have a song.